title for this week's sermon is interesting. Jesus' packing list. Jesus is visiting his hometown. As I like to set up these sermons. In chapters 3 through 6 in the Gospel lesson of Mark, Jesus is visiting his hometown. His visit to his hometown follows the great demonstrations of Jesus' power. To the extent that they were aware of these miracles, Jesus' hometown folk, they kind of have reason to be proud, right? And I would almost think that they would have what we would say like a ticker tape parade. But unfortunately, they don't. And as we may remember, this isn't the first account in this gospel of Jesus visiting his hometown. In an earlier visit, his family and friends went out to seize Jesus because they said, he's insane. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub. And by the prince of the demons, he casts out the demons. So they really fail to welcome Jesus more warmly in his later visit. So it's important also in the context of things to understand Mark tells of the death of John the Baptist in a later section of chapter 6. The call of the disciples is therefore sandwiched between two stories of rejected prophets. Jesus rejected by his hometown people, which we'll hear about today, and then John killed by the king. Following the death of John the Baptist, Mark reports the disciples gathering around Jesus to report the results of the mission for which he had sent them. And I think what this does is it suggests no matter how dark the moment, the church continues its work. And it also prepares us for the opposition that the disciples will face in the early church and warn us that we cannot expect evil, an evil world, to welcome us, to welcome our witness to Christ so warmly as it's been exampled to Christ. Before we hear the word read and proclaimed, let us go to God in prayer together. Will you say with me the prayer of illumination as printed in our bulletins or on the front screen? Savior God,
you gave Zion a stronghold for good. By the power of the Holy Spirit, speak to us through Jesus Christ, your living word, in whose name we pray.
Amen. This is found in the 6th chapter of Mark, verses 1 through 13. In page 1560 in your Pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. 1560. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him? That he even does miracles. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus' instructions to his disciples in this gospel text remind me of a packing list. Kind of like if you're going to summer camp, or even if we're going to our packing list for our mission trip to Haiti. Our packing list might read something like this. You should bring flashlight, sunscreen, bug spray, toothbrush, rain poncho, flip-flops, tennis shoes, swimsuit, enough shorts and t-shirts for a week, maybe towels and toiletries. And be sure to pack a rain poncho in the case of inclement weather. And what to leave at home? Well, for a camper, it might be anything digital, right? You don't want anything distracting. Anything that you weren't willing to lose. Items to be sure to bring and those to be sure to leave indicate the nature of the activities and the kind of community that will be defining this camp or this mission trip. Practicality wins the day. With comfortable, weather-appropriate clothing that allows the wearer to move freely without worrying about getting too dirty. And in the case of bringing items for a summer camp, campers must be able to focus on the tasks and the people at hand. Everything that the campers will need will be provided. The first step to a positive camp experience, to learning and growing, to making new friends and gaining skills, packing correctly. No one wants to be caught in the deluge of the afternoon thunderstorm without a poncho or end up deep in the woods without bug spray, right? Following the instructions on the packing list allows for full participation in the experience to come. It's true for summer campers. It's true for mission attendees. And it's true for the disciples of Christ. If those of us who follow Jesus are to engage totally in the work to which we have been called, we first need to get the packing list right. And Jesus says, pack light. Pack light. Jesus says his burden is light, and yet we often load ourselves up with superfluous stuff. Jesus tells the 12 to take only your staff, right? No bread, no bag, no money. Wear sandals, put on two tunics, go in pairs, and get moving. And hurry up every chance you get. And so you'll notice that these items allow for mobility. They allow for flexibility. The disciples aren't taking time every morning to repack the donkey. Nor are they dragging a roller bag behind them, stopping every few feet to adjust their shoulder bag or their backpack, or rebalance boxes or backpacks. The packing list indicates that they are expected to be on the move, never to get too comfortable in one place and not to be on the lookout for the nicest home, but content with whatever accommodations are offered. The lack of baggage carried by Jesus' followers extends to, yes, metaphorical baggage. Shake off the dust off your feet. Keep moving mentally, spiritually. Don't obsess over those who won't hear you, or those who dismiss you, or those who would ridicule you? Did you pay attention to what happened to Jesus in his hometown? There are people who, even with Jesus himself right in front of them, refuse to believe the word or to see the work of God. If folks don't recognize and value Jesus, inevitably many will fail to welcome those who come in Jesus' name. So let it go. Let it go. Keep moving. Keep preaching, teaching, anointing, healing, confronting evil. Don't worry about the outcome. Don't carry grudges and let go of any need for retribution. Don't give in to anger or fear or distillation or any delusion. And as it turns out, not being weighed down by this kind of baggage can prove much harder than if we were to leave our cell phones behind. On weeks or months or years, when every news station reports on the details of violence, exclusion, a trampling of the weak, an exploitation of the vulnerable, suffering upon suffering, shaking off the dust off our feet seems almost impossible. Preaching and teaching and healing and anointing and confronting evil and casting out demons, you got to ask yourself, what's the use? Does our ministry make a difference? Does our witness and our efforts, do they matter? Not many people are opening their doors or inviting us in. We're hitting wall after wall. Our sandals are worn, our tunics are stained, our feet and our bodies and our minds and our spirits are tired. Maybe it should be best to give it all up and go back to the house. Maybe we should just, you know, fake sick, fake an illness so that Camp Nurse will call our parents and come and fetch us, carry us back home. Maybe we should bury ourselves in the distractions of our cell phones and our laptops, or even a couple of good feel-good cat videos on Facebook. Now just forget shaking off the dust. How about a nice hot shower? A nice hot shower that washes it all down the drain and lets us be free of it forever. Right? Packing light may well be difficult, but letting go of the baggage of cynicism, contempt, anger, fear, and just plain fatigue, well, that's real work, friends. And that's a lot harder. And yet, that's what Jesus instructs us to do. Disciples are not greater than their masters. Jesus was rejected, questioned, judged, and persecuted. He did what he could in his hometown, and when he could do no more, he left and he went into other towns. He kept moving. He kept proclaiming. He kept healing and casting out demons and confronting evil and calling out oppressors and alleviating suffering. Others' affirmations or acceptance was not a prerequisite for his ministry. And it cannot be for ours either. When tangible results are elusive, we trust that God gives the growth, sometimes underground and unseen, to those of us that are throwing the seeds. In a week when it would be all too easy to give in to helplessness and hopelessness, I encourage us with the following. Do not get lost in a sea of despair, but in fact be hopeful. And be optimistic. Our struggle is not the struggle of a day or a week or a month or a year. It is a struggle of a lifetime. never, ever be afraid to make some noise. Don't be afraid to get into some good trouble. Some necessary trouble, perhaps. Shake off the dust and keep moving. And don't get bogged down in the baggage of despair. We don't follow Jesus for a day or a week or a year, but we follow him for a lifetime. We are disciples of Jesus Christ who went all the way to the cross to redeem the world, including those who rejected him and tortured him and killed him on Good Friday. Like to the first 12, Jesus gives us instructions, a packing list, and even more, a commandment. Love one another. Keep moving, preaching, praying, healing, anointing, casting out demons, confronting evil, alleviating suffering, bringing good news to the poor. So let's remember this, friends. Go in pairs. Go together. Rest in those places and with those people who welcome you. And notice the beauty and the good along the path. Don't forget the grace of your baptism is sufficient for your calling, because it is God's grace, so sufficient, in fact, that you don't need to haul any baggage, literal or metaphorical. So grab your staff and find a fellow disciple. And go out into the world to show the love of Jesus Christ. And let those with ears hear and listen. And those who can't, well, shake off the dust. And keep moving. What baggage do you need to leave behind to go where Jesus is sending you? How are we following Jesus' instructions? If we are being sent out, where and to whom are we going? Keep moving and preaching and praying and healing and anointing and casting out demons and confronting evil and alleviating suffering and bringing good news to the poor. That's what we can do. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.